Okay, so running again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask why do you present the choice like this?
Well,
because the choice is really there. If you start a spiritual practice without understanding that it's a choice in a deep sense, then the spiritual practice will often run up against that choice in an unconscious form. So many of the difficulties in spiritual practice come from not understanding what it is you're trying to achieve.
Right? So when you present it like this, the householder or the creator, then you're referred to an unenlightened householder and the enlightened creator.
Yes.
Because you said before that the householder can also be enlightened.
Well, once you're enlightened, if you choose to be a householder, that's now an enlightened activity. So you're choosing from your enlightened condition, where you could choose anything you like, as long as other people will come along and play the game with you. You're choosing to create a house and a child and the lineage and all these things. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a... you know, once you're in this position of being in this divine awareness, from that position you then choose to do things. And the fact that you are conscious that you're choosing them gives you the sense of freedom of creation. Whereas if you are unconsciously choosing them, it feels like duty and responsibility and pressure. So that's actually a very profound shift. But, you know, it gets back to this thing of, it's very hard to get the joy of going mountain climbing in an environment where you can fly.
Yeah.
So in the creative position, in the enlightened position where you say, I want to make something, then you have all of this choice, but you're still constrained by the rules of the game that you're in, the environment that you're in. Right? I hear that there are enlightened people who can do things like teleport, but I have no idea how you'd even begin that. Nobody ever showed me that. So the idea that you're making a conscious decision to say, I'm going to quit all the games which require me to be unenlightened, I'm going to dedicate my life to being enlightened, understanding that at the end of that I'm going to stay exactly the person I am now, but now I'm going to understand myself, is a realistic foundation for spiritual work. Once you have a realistic foundation for spiritual work, as you do the spiritual work, the difficulties in it and all the rest of that stuff are much less discouraging and much less likely to give you a hard time. Realistic framework for practice.
But then the choice is the choice also between becoming enlightened and having children and family.
No, it's purely, I mean, that part of it is purely about managing your time. Getting enlightened, you know, the way that I say it is getting enlightened takes about the same amount of effort as getting a PhD.
Yeah.
So organizing your life in such a way that you can manage to, you know, get a PhD, get married and have kids. Lots of people do that.
Yeah.
But getting a PhD doesn't detach you from the world in a fundamental sense and then cause you to require to recreate yourself to re-enter it.
Yeah. I had one thought, which is, if you have this desire, like, for example, that it sounds appealing to be able to create the way you explain, or... but then it can be like an egoistic drive to become enlightened. But then you've maybe failed to realize that when you are in that position, you will not get this kind of satisfaction that you were hoping for before you got into that.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Right. The cultural mythology around enlightenment is that there's some kind of enormous, great, permanent, high payoff thing that comes from it.
Yeah.
Right? Nope. Nuh-uh. Right, you know, the Zen guys have this saying, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Chop good.
Chop wood, carry water.
Chop carry
water. Right? Or they say, you know, eat when hungry, sleep when tired.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get enlightened, you continue to exist as a being, and that you still have a physical body and you still have emotions and these kinds of things. You then decide whether you're going to step away from life or step into it. And then from there, if you're stepping into it, you're probably going to be able to create something amazing in as much as you're now a divine creator in the world. But everybody else is a divine creator too. It's just your conscious divine creator. And the difference between conscious and unconscious is whether you are involved in activities which are incompatible with real knowledge. See? So if you're in an environment where you're only doing things which are compatible with real knowledge, and you want to create something, you're already tapped into the universe in a very deep way. Make sense?
Yeah, just a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one question that has been burning. Maybe I should finish with that.
Right.
Because then I have to go to see this film.
Oh, yes.
Enjoy Poverty. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it. I heard it's very good, though. Where is it playing?
I think it's provoking, also.
Oh, yeah.
It's in not far from here. You can come if you want. It's for free, I think.
I might do that.
Yeah.
So tell me, what time does it start?
7.
7.
And it's
okay.
About 10-minute walk.
Got it. Fine. So, go on.
Yeah, the question is, we were talking about suffering before.
Yes.
And the two types of suffering. But there is also, we also talked about or these kinds of toxic relationships or circumstances in the world.
Yes, yes.
And insane systems, etc.
Yes, the problem. Yes.
Yeah. And these are also creating suffering.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, like, pain and suffering. A lot of people in the world, like poverty and hunger and oppression and violence.
Yes.
This kind of suffering.
Yes.
I think this is a classical issue when it comes to enlightenment discussions also, because people ask, like, but what about these things?
Mm-hmm. So all of those kinds of suffering are category one suffering, right? So if you think of, category two suffering. So category one suffering is the natural suffering which comes with mountain climbing. Category two suffering is rubbing the wasabi in your eye. Right? So at the heart of what's wrong with the world at that level, what you have is a whole bunch of people who are, a whole bunch of people who are attempting to fix the world by destroying it. So if you look at the deep understanding inside of Christianity and Islam and Judaism and science, the world is seen as being a machine, and the suffering comes from the machine being broken. And if in the monotheist religions, in Buddhism is also in monotheism, inside of the monotheist religions, you need to fundamentally break the way that things are to make something new. So in Christianity and Islam, there's this idea that you're going to have a messiah who's going to destroy the world, and then everybody will be reborn in perfect immortal bodies if they had faith.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa! Whoa! That's not how I want to live. Thank you very much. I'd quite like to enjoy this place just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the version where we're not wrecking it anymore. You see? So if you have people who genuinely believe that the world is broken and needs to be fixed by burning it to nothingness, and then everybody needs to be reincarnated in some perfect divine world, youch, that's kind of a hard ride. And that's where a lot of our trouble comes from. So, I want to pick up this thread about the coercion of the enlightened creative position, because this is really an important one. The enlightened position is the natural position of the human species. Enlightenment is where you would be if you'd grown up in a culture where all the people around you were enlightened. You'd have grown up enlightened. You would know that you are God, manifesting in a physical body just like all the people around you. And together you're creating something wonderful and beautiful and special and all the rest of this stuff, right? If you'd been raised in an enlightened culture, you'd probably be enlightened by default. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
So imagine who you would be if you were being raised in an enlightened culture. Can you sort of get the notion that there might be a naturally enlightened form of yourself?
Maybe.
I don't know. Imagine if you'd grown up in an environment where your parents had taught you that you were a god, and your environment had constantly reminded you and shown you, and the people around you had all known that they were God, and everybody was acting together in this way. Can you imagine that world?
Not really.
Well, I mean, you know, there's plenty of fantasy and mythology about it. Shangri-La, Pure Lands, Heaven, all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, in many ways, the other way of thinking about getting enlightened is it's getting free from all the artificial obscurations that come from being born on such a rough planet.
Yeah.
Right? It's a restoration of your natural state of consciousness and your natural capabilities. And this is a model of enlightenment which is like healing. And this is kind of how I became enlightened, right? Was I had to do so much psychological work to try and overcome the fact that my parents were mentally ill, that at the end of it, I'd gone through so many layers of the self that the last couple of things you have to do beyond psychological healing to become enlightened were only about another 3 years of work.
Yeah.
So this is another way of modelling it, that if you think of the world as an enormous system which is in some way broken because we're destroying the planet and hurting each other and we don't seem to be able to stop, you can also get into the domain of becoming enlightened as political action. Right? To say, I'm going to know the truth about myself, I'm going to know the truth about the world, and in doing so I'm going to transform a little piece of the world into being the way that it should be.
Yeah.
Right? So first I'm going to wake up to the full truth of my being, and then I'm going to live in a path that expresses that truth. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now this is the path of Gandhi.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the path of the maximum pain in the ass form of enlightenment. Where you get enlightened and you refuse to do anything which is incompatible with your enlightenment and you make the world change because you're not going to. See what I'm saying? And that's a form of the enlightenment as a creative act, but it's a form of the enlightenment where you're taking a stand and saying I'm becoming enlightened as a way of straightening out this mess in the world, because once I know how it really is, I can begin to act in a better way. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work. All of these forms are
like
huge.
Like you said before, it's very difficult to even if you're enlightened, it's very difficult to live in a way that you think that the world should, the life should be lived.
Absolutely. But at the same time, if you're God, which you are, it's difficult, but it's not any more difficult than it has to be. Mountain climbing. At the core of your being, there's the creative choice for all of these possibilities. And for me, I took the pain in the ass course, right? So what I'm doing with my life is I'm attempting to recreate the world in a way in which everybody in the world has a place to sleep and something to eat. And it's taken me into all kinds of crazy places. Right? So as a creator, I made this thing called the Hexier.
Yeah.
Which is a very, very cheap building. So it's a house for $100, and there's no copyright, no patent, it's public domain, and it's used all over the world, and the American military loves them, and the British military is interested in them, and they've been built in Sri Lanka and Haiti and all of these places. And a few years from now, it's probably going to be all over the world in big, big stories and big news. that the creation and the maintenance of that thing is an engine of conscious transformation in the world. It's what I'm doing with my life. Now, you know, taking the Gandhi path, taking the hard push path, is it's a hell of a thing to be doing with your time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I would never recommend to anybody get enlightened so that you can transform the world, because that's kind of arrogant, and there's no guarantee that the world will be transformed or even want to be transformed. But if you're already politically devoted, if you're dedicating your life to trying to do something about the state of the world, then taking enlightenment as a part of that process and saying, you know, I'm going to understand the truth about myself and the world as part of my quest to make the world fair and just and proper and safe, as part of the continuity of the world, so that there can be another generation, another generation, another generation, another generation. If you're going to take that step, by all means get enlightened as part of the process.
But why would you take it so seriously if you know that it's a dream?
Well,
then it was still somewhere in the back of your head or wherever it is, it would still be like a game.
It is just a game.
To do this Gandhi thing.
That's the one.
So it's not a pain in the ass.
Oh, it's still a pain in the ass. Do you have any idea how much of a pain in the ass? Well, it's a pain in the ass.
But then you have to remind yourself that it's just a game.
Well, it's the pain in the ass
and
of
you
doing
don't have
the
to play it.
It's the pain in the ass of doing the difficult thing you've chosen to do.
Yeah.
You know, think of if you're trying to solve a very difficult puzzle, how frustrating it is, and at the end you're like, yay! Right? For me, the first time I see a refugee camp where we've gotten a good form of hex here that fits the environment and people like it, and I walk around in it, if that day comes, which it might, probably will, if that day comes, I'm going to have a smile which goes right the way around to the back of my head.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've put 15 years into making this happen, and it finally has, and everybody is happier. Yay! Me! Good! Fabulous! Right? I've created something, and the people love it. Yes! Right? And this is the mix, right, of the human desire to do something that people love, and the divine desire to create something. See?
And
now,
is there no a desire left... Is there no portion of desire to be appreciated and to be confirmed and have a status and...
Well, there's not much of a desire for status, but, I mean, you know, even... I think even the very highest forms of human consciousness still love to create beauty and love for the beauty to be recognised as beauty.
Yeah.
You know, I think, again, if you look at sort of Leonardo da Vinci and Salvador Dali, it's very hard to say that these were not hugely enlightened, great human beings, and yet creation of beauty in a context where people appreciated it was a core activity for them. You know, if you look at the night sky or the sunset, I think it's safe to say that God is in on this game too. You see?
Because this is what I sometimes wonder about artists.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they would be enlightened, like, why would they feel the need to create, to exhibit? But, of course, it could be a genuine need, genuine desire to change other people's world.
Oh, but not just that. I mean, God itself appears to love beauty.
Yeah, the beauty, but why do you need to connect your name to it? Or
I mean, the nature of this decision, again, that enlightened beings have to make, about whether you'll remain invisible and just like everybody else, or whether you'll make big waves and be seen, that's, again, an aesthetic choice.
Yeah.
If your talent is as a musician, then it's beautiful stuff that you make, and it's most effective when many people can share the beauty. If your talent is as a builder of brick walls, maybe you'll be anonymous, but your brick walls will stand for 1,000 years. The precise nature of how you express yourself as an enlightened being and what your talents are affects the mode of your manifestation. Does that make sense?
So what time is it now?
It is now... think about 5:30. Oh yeah, it is 7:20.
Okay, then it's
so you
time.
Should take off.
Yeah.
So
you're not coming.
I'm not sure. I have to think about it for a minute.
Okay.
So I want to leave you with two thoughts.
Yeah.
So the core of the enlightenment experience is understanding that the life that you've lived already is the life divine.
Mm-hmm.
So you look back on yourself as an enlightened being, and you understand everywhere you've been and why you were there. You see how that would work?
Everywhere I've been?
Everywhere you've been in your life and why you were there, you look back from the moment of enlightenment, you understand all of it.
Uh-huh.
Now, what goes along with that is the feeling that everything makes sense and everything was for a purpose, and that seems to carry forward as well. Now, this is the part that is tricky to explain, but it's really the point of kind of the thing that I wanted to get across to you as somebody who's considering taking the path.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start on the path towards enlightenment, what happens is you gradually peel back all of the layers of the self and the world until you see it as it is, and then you understand that all of those layers were consciously created by somebody for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the equal participant in the game, and you can create something wonderful in your own space too. Now, the difference between creating unconsciously and creating consciously is the spark of vision. And this is what's true in art, it's true in science, it's true in mathematics, it's true in some kinds of politics. It's a spark of vision where the thing inside of you, which is God, looks out into the world and says, this is not right, and that takes politics. Or it says, I want to see something beautiful here, I want to put this on the canvas, and this is art. Or, I want to have wonderful children who are happy to be in this world that's so good, and this becomes parenting. Do you see how it's the same impulse at the root, which is this divine creativity? Right? That's what the world is already made from, but if enlightened people don't show up to do the maintenance, the whole thing falls into stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you feel the call to become enlightened, don't fight it, but understand that at the end of that process, probably the highest role that you're going to get into is doing an ordinary thing in a conscious way. But in doing that, you're continuing to maintain the creation in a form that allows us to share the world that is fundamentally so beautiful.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying? And that's not quite the same as saying that you do it for other people and not for yourself. But if you expect the payoff to be a life of eternal wonder, I've never seen any evidence that happens. The payoff might be as simple as getting one thing really right and having the entire world benefit from it just a little. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, I've given you a fair perspective on what you get if you dedicate your life to doing this thing. I can't say fairer than that.
Yeah, it's very good.
You're welcome. Splendid. How should I get you the MP3?
Right now my computer is broken.
Okay. So if you like, what I can do is I can upload these somewhere and
that
then email you. Do you know how to get my email address?
No.
Okay, so my email address is hexayour@gmail.com. You can get it from him, he's got it.
Take it.
Actually, I can give you a card.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, let's see. A card up here.
But you're normally in London.
Yeah. What is this? No, here we are.
Wow.
If you fold it up, it makes one of my little houses.
Of course.
So, do you mind if I put that on the internet for people to listen to? Do you care?
Of course not. You don't have to mention my name, right?
Well, so I don't think we've said your name on the tape.
No.
So at that point, you're an anonymous friend.
Yeah.
Nice. So, that's very funny. So what I will do is I will put it online.
Yeah.
Maybe just fine. So what I'll do is I'll put it online and I'll send you a link.
Yeah,
and
great.
If you don't like it, we can take it down.
Then I can also download it, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
The link.
Simple. All right, fun and games.
Yeah, I don't know about this film, and do I probably...